Welcome to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. Whoa. I'm one of your hosts. What's up?
That was fast.
Yeah, fast and loose, as I was telling you.
Jesus Christ.
Playing fast and loose today, guys. I'm Quizmaster Lee Brushnida, and I'm joined by your other Quizmaster host, Mark Davis.
No quicker that you pushed that space bar. You just jumped right into it.
I might have started talking before my finger was depressed.
It was almost identical the time that you hit the space bar and started talking. That's what really
time is money. Time is money. Places go, people see. Oh, Mark, let's say once again, thank you to Mike Kniry for taking some time and joining us last week on the No-No.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. And also thank you to Eric, who was here the week before that.
Yeah.
I don't even know if we ever properly post episode and thanked him, but maybe we did.
Did we?
Or in case we didn't.
Yeah.
Thank you again.
Yeah. Great guest lately. It was awesome to catch up with Eric. And it was great to shoot the shit with Mike about music and, you know, catch up and remember some of the things that we places we went to growing up in Southwest Florida.
It was very, very wonderful seeing him say, holy shit, after failing to probably not cuss because, you know, he usually has to play it very G-rated.
Right.
And he was
all
like,
those,
you know,
public dollars, you know, you got a lot of stakeholders criticizing you.
Even though he knew he could say whatever he wanted to, he said, you know, we talked about it. I'm just going to hold it back.
Like Jim Gaffigan.
And then he got, I can't remember, it was like for a lease or something like that, I think. Mm. And he was just so amazed that we had gotten it that he just let out a wonderful holy shit.
An S-bomb, if
absolutely.
You will. It's okay. Everything sounds good coming out of him.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, we let it all hang out around here.
Indeed we do.
Also, we want to say thanks before we get into our trivia to Gil for making a great playlist featuring all of the songs, or most of the songs that we mentioned in our last episode. It's a collaborative playlist, so if you go on there and you see some stuff that isn't on there, you can add to it. I added Whiter Shade of Pale, you know, the song that you had a lyrical identification question
about.
And I did listen to the dub version, the ska reggaeton version by, who was that? Rodney?
So I told you about Alton Ellis.
Oh, okay.
You must have listened to another version because
his
version is definitely not dancehall.
No.
It's definitely not reggaeton, though.
Okay.
It's traditional.
What? I'm so ignorant to this.
Oh, it's like it's traditional ska.
Ska. Okay. So it's got horns and stuff.
No horns.
Ska doesn't have horns in it?
Not. It's a common misconception. You don't need it. There are loads of bands that didn't use horns that played ska music. I mean, it's just because it was kind of the forerunner to reggae, and horns are just widely considered. I mean, a lot of ska bands do have horns or feature horns in a couple songs or whatever, but it's definitely not a prerequisite. I mean, Operation Ivy played, I mean, I know it was ska punk, but, you know, they didn't have a horn section.
Right,
there
are
some.
So when ska originated, horns were not a requirement, basically.
No.
And they were added later.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like the inverse of rock music, where you can have horns in rock music and it's still rock music, but initially it didn't. Mm. Ska music initially did have horns mostly.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not a prerequisite.
Do you think Lil Nas X will make a ska song next?
It would be amazing. I'd listen to it. I still can't get enough of Old Town Road. It's such a good song.
It's an earworm, for sure. And the beauty of it is it's like 2 minutes long.
Yeah.
So, you know,
cuts all the fat.
You're in and you're out. Playing fast and loose, just like we are.
Just like you.
All right. So, yeah, check out that podcast features tracks by Queen, Fela Kuti, Dan Byrne, The Modern Lovers, Pink Floyd, and yes, even Raffi. Even Raffi makes the cut. Go to the show notes in the last episode. That's episode 42. Three Song Questions is the title with guest Mike Kniry. You can check that out. And you may have already seen it if you follow us on our social media accounts, which I hope you do.
You should.
Yeah. All right. Let's do a little weekly wrap up and then we'll get into our trivia. The Wet Boys have been dominating at Three Pepper the past 2 weeks, winning both our April 15th and April 22nd games at the venue with 74 and 87 points.
Hello.
Yeah. Mark, you were only there for one of those, so
it's true.
Your value is about 13 points, what it looks like.
It's, you know, it's wavered. I've always said it's not me necessarily, but I have noticed that sometimes when like they'll hit like a skid when I'm not there, and then yep. I go back and again I don't think I'm the smartest person at the table. Even
13 points at my game, that's two hard questions and an easy.
Yeah,
you know, or maybe a medium, easy, and a hard. So that's good. You're earning your keep, I would say, just based
that's
on
probably
this,
music
this
questions.
Breakdown. Yeah. Our Wednesday games at Bury Me Brewing have seen the Moist Men take home the victory with 95 points, and this past event we had the Tromboners with 54 points. I asked if they played the trombone, and they said no. We just
never mind that.
We just like this kind of name.
That kind of name.
Yeah. Finally, it was Peanut the Dog and the Squeaky Chairs who won our game at number 3 last week with 88 points. Congratulations to the Moist Men for earning our highest score over the past couple weeks. Overall, though, there have been no triple-digit scores, so it looks like my games are getting a little bit harder.
Yeah, getting a little tough.
Yeah, we'll see how you do with some of these questions, Mark. But first, how did your teams do over at Nice Guys Pizza Trivia on Wednesday?
They did good. We 2 weeks ago, I don't remember because I'm not very good at keeping tabs like you are. Another thing that we're on the opposite end of the spectrum on.
I feel guilty throwing away old answer sheets. I don't know about you.
No, like, they go away immediately.
What if I need this in 20 years?
What if someone calls me and says that question you gave me?
Yeah, I didn't get my points.
You didn't give me any points and I was supposed to get them. It was a very, very quiet night. The snowbirds have definitely gone home. The winner of each round all across the board with a sweep was Jamie, Fletcher, Kristen, and Aaron.
As usual.
With All Quiet on the Western Cunt continuing their...
Dirty movie parody names.
Exactly. Yeah. With 47 points, if that gets you any clue. The first round yesterday was very, very tough.
Yeah. Yeah, there was. I had some newcomers last night, and they were like, these are really tough. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I mean, do you want easy questions? You don't come to trivia to be given, what are the standard colors in a box grill? That's actually not a bad question, though.
Yeah, you know, I would be very curious to people that listen and interact with us in any way, or if people want to write in, what is it that you go to trivia for? Mm-hmm. Because I find that there are some people that just do it for fun. There are the people that stick around even though they're going to get negative something points.
Right.
Which is an interesting mindset when you compare that to people who go to win.
Yeah.
And then there are also people who go there. Yeah, I think there are people like the people that get the -7 or whatever are generally there and they're not even really playing trivia.
They're there for the camaraderie and social aspect
exactly. of it. Exactly. And it's that social, like, mm-hmm. oh, we got something to talk about. Like, if there's like a lull in conversation, we can be like, oh, well, mm-hmm. what do you think this is? Da 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 da.
Yeah.
You know, maybe even like first dates, trying to get an idea of like how intelligent your partner is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might
is
be a good way
dummy?
To kind of
should I procreate with this person?
Yeah, it's like, who is the first person? They're like, oh, I think it's Abraham Lincoln. You're like, all right, well, this is not going to work.
Oh my gosh, please, if you are a listener and you use trivia as a dating technique, please write it and tell us some stories. I'm sure there's somebody's gotta.
And if you're a listener and you haven't done that, please start. might be a really good and not just how intelligent they are, but how they deal with loss, you know, like losing and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Negotiating and like, you know,
like they say, like a lot of people
personality.
Yeah. A lot of people will go out not just for the safety, but also because you can find out how like the other person reacts to people that are serving them, like people in the service industry and stuff like that, because. You know, if you're one of those people that like puts out $5 and you're like, I'm going to take a dollar back each time you do something wrong, then it's like, I'm just going to get up from this dinner right now and be done with this shit because fuck that.
Yeah, that was a bit on Third Rock from the Sun, if I remember correctly.
It's been used a lot. Oh, okay. I mean, and I have talked to servers who have
people
dealt
do
with
that for real.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah, people will do that. Yeah.
I thought that was just a joke from TV, but yeah, I mean, I think trivia, you know, as a dating technique,
they're called libertarians.
I think trivia, you know, used to kind of like, you know, go on dates and meet new people, calling it their level of intelligence, maybe not fair because some people just don't have trivial knowledge.
Well, yeah,
you know, it's a type of intelligence, having a good being a good trivia player.
But see, that's what I think. I mean, it's one thing to say, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's another thing to like have a completely off the wall guess. And so maybe it also kind of shows their humility.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
temperament.
Because I mean, there are questions where people, you know, where it asks and I go, I don't know.
Right.
Like, do not take my answer as being something, you know, to take in at all. Right. And then you have other people who are just like, oh, I know that.
Right.
Like, they just kind of have to show off or whatever.
Right.
And then they're so horribly wrong.
Yeah.
You know? And I think you can tell, not a lot, maybe, but a good amount of, you know, how someone is probably by playing a round of trivia with them.
Yeah. And I think team members like that, they usually get filtered out over time, or they adjust.
For sure. Know?
Because it's no fun playing with somebody like that.
Dude, it's the same thing. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, if you do that constantly and you don't change your behavior, then you just have a real lack of awareness, I would say.
Yeah.
You know,
it's the same thing. It's the same thing in a way, you know, that I play a lot of poker. Mm-hmm. We just started having another guy come a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. and he came in, had 10 beers, and he just like, he walked in immediately and just started like eating snacks that were on the table.
Mm-hmm. Oh, those no, were
like,
for the guests.
Oh, are these, you know, like wait, you literally in out, my but kitchen.
Oh, okay.
Someone brought a giant snacks. Tub of pretzels. I would never choose that. But they brought a giant tub of pretzels, and he just walks in and pulls the cap off in my kitchen.
Yeah.
On the island, just right. eating them. Mm-hmm. Like, no, hey, is this okay?
I see. They weren't like, out for nothing. Being served.
And then, like just seeing, like, how he, like, dealt with losing hands. And then he started like threatening people, and it was like, whoa. Cause I mean, you know, a lot of it's easy to be nice to people, you know, in a controlled environment. But mm-hmm. when you start like losing money mm-hmm. and people start like, you know,
yeah,
having like an opinion of you, then it can start getting crazy.
Gotcha. So this individual won't be invited back is what you're telling me.
No, not at all.
Sucks for him. If you want to join our game, which isn't a controlled environment, we'll kick motherfuckers out for threatening people.
Absolutely.
Join us on Monday, April 29th at Three Pepper Burrito Company in downtown Fort Myers. The final category that night will be Disney movies, chosen by this week's losers, Bradriana. Then on Wednesday on May 1st, 2019, we'll be at Bury Me Brewing Company. Anatomy and Physiology will be the final category for Nadia, who did not fare well with the rampant amount of pop culture on her quiz. She's like, please, more science. Like, that's, she came Damn. In last place, and she was like, these categories are not fitting with me. So we're going to be doing some more science-oriented stuff on May 1st at Bury Me Brewing. Afterwards, we'll swing on over to Nice Guys Pizza.
Hi.
And enjoy some trivia courtesy of my co-host here, Mark Davis. His trivia starts at 9. And goes till question mark, usually about 10:30 though, right?
Yeah, 9 to 10:30.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the run time.
And then on Thursday, May 2nd, we'll be at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in downtown Cape Coral. That one's starting at 7:30. You can find more information about that and all of our live events online at nononsensetrivia.com. All of the No Nonsense events are free to play. You can win prizes after every round. Join us.
Won't you? Oh, boy. That melted very quickly.
What a rush. Remember that?
Your Joel Jack Nicholson.
No, that was Legion of Doom, the wrestlers, remember? They were like the Mad Max Warrior tag team in the 90s.
I don't think it was Jack Nicholson who said that, but there's some movie or something.
Oh, really?
Where
oh, they ripped it off from something probably. Wrestlers always like kind of borrow, you know, their personas, like their Mad Max style characters. If you don't remember the Legion of Doom, what were their names? Was it Buzz and Mohawk? Was that their name?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And their intro music just had this like,
I thought the Legion of Doom were so cool.
Dude, they look at them. They've got these giant Nerf spikes.
They're wearing football pads, which I never realized that's what they were when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Football pads with a bunch of spikes on them.
Mm hmm.
And face paint, which was...
Yeah, they kind of took the Ultimate Warrior and the Wrestler, then the Road Warrior. All the Warriors. Get all the Warriors in here.
Bring me every Warrior.
Yeah, and we will mimic them. We will mimic them. And yeah, their theme music started with... What a rush.
Oh, the mask.
Oh, starting Jim Carrey?
Yeah, when
Legion of Doom predates the mask, for sure.
I think it's when he first gets the mask.
That would make sense. We're going to take a little break, and then we'll be back in round one with some trivia. Thank you. Before we get started with these questions, we just want to say a quick thank you to our Patreon supporters. We got two new proverbial lightkeepers this week. We have Aaron from New York, as well as our old friend Elise joining the supporting community and of the proverbial lightkeepers. Thanks, Aaron. Thanks, Elise. Hope you guys can make it down to Florida at some point and try some of this no-no live.
I know Elise will be down here, I think, in June or July. Yeah. So we'll have to get her on here.
Right on. All right. Thanks also to our quiz daddies, Tommy from the Electric Mud, waiting to have him on as well. And Tim from San Diego, Pat's Garden Service, Tim's team. Thank you, Tim. Thanks also to our team captains, Kristen and Fletcher. And our other proverbial lightkeepers, Sarah, Brina, Carly, Christopher, Josh, Max, Lucas, Sean, Sherry, and Gil. And thanks also to our Rumpel Snailskins, Michael C. and Michael J.
Thank you guys so much.
Indeed, yeah. If you'd like to support the podcast, and just a reminder, the reason that we ask for your support is so that we don't read ads. Personally, I hate ads. I hate listening to podcasts. I hate skipping over ads. You're probably wanting to skip over this because it kind of sounds like an ad right now. But, you know, in order to avoid having ads, like I said in previous episodes, if you can buy a cup of coffee without thinking too hard about it, you know, and you enjoy the show every week, consider becoming a supporter on Patreon. We have tons of bonus content up. We're putting new bonus content up every week. Please do so.
We're going to put more, and the more that you guys, more people we get there, the more pressure we're going
to
feel.
Yeah. Eventually, I'd like to do some video stuff.
Absolutely.
Know? But need a set. And,
if you've never seen us, you don't know how beautiful we are.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to just...
When we smile, the light twinkles off of our teeth and makes a ding sound.
Yeah.
That's beauty.
Ba-ding.
Yeah. All right. So if you'd like to support the podcast, go to thenono.com and click support at the top. Please and thank you.
Yes.
You ready to do some trivia?
I think so.
Cool.
What American jazz pianist and vocalist was the first African-American to host an American television series?
To host an American television series?
Yes.
Jazz pianist and vocalist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like this was too recent. So I'm trying to go to the Blue Note section in my brain. I don't know if this individual is associated with Blue Note Records, but if I recall, Dave Brubeck was white. So it's not him.
That's correct. He was white.
Yep. Louis Armstrong did not play the piano. I know he played the trumpet, but did he play the piano early on? It could be him. Why can't I think of this guy's name? He had a song like "I'm Batman."
I don't know.
Not Winston. I want to say Winston Marsalis. That's another trumpet player. Walter Wilson. You know the guy I'm talking about?
No.
He had like a Daniel Johnson vibe. He was around in the 90s. He had like a bunch of like avant-garde music that he home recorded.
I don't know.
And he's like, it would be like, "I'm Batman, fucking bitch." You know who I'm talking about?
I don't know. I don't. I mean, I'm sure if you told me the name, I would know it. I'd know the name, but it's not him.
And it's not Dave Brubeck.
Nope.
I don't think, I don't know.
Let me give you a clue.
Yeah.
He has an old soul, and it is Mary.
I don't know. Jazz?
Yep.
I don't know. Is it Miles Davis? I don't even know if he played the piano. Or is it Thelonious Monk?
Thelonious Monk was a bassist, I think. Maybe he was a pianist.
I was going to say, I thought he played the piano.
It was in 1956, November 5th.
Mm-hmm.
It was a 15-minute variety program called the Nat King Cole Show.
Oh, my God. I'm so embarrassed
by myself
right now.
Nat King Cole. Merry old soul.
Right. Okay. That makes sense.
And a merry old soul was he.
We had We had the CD that featured his posthumous duet with his daughter.
It was incredible.
With Unforgettable on it. Yeah.
I remember when that came out, it was like a big thing. Like,
yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Very good. All right. Here's your first question of the round. It is a biology question. In the world of biology, what is the term for a vessel that carries a zygote? What is the name for a vessel that carries a zygote in biological terms?
See, I have a feeling it's going to be one of those like obvious, everyone knows the word, and you're kind of giving me a smile like that's what it is. Like, you know, well, I keep thinking like amniotic sac, zygote. One more time.
In biology, what is the term for a vessel that carries a zygote?
An egg?
Yes, it is an egg.
Okay. You're right.
About 10% of my teams got that correct last night.
It's
which is why I included it here. Because it sounds a lot harder than it is. But if you break it down and think about it, you know.
That's what made me think.
Yeah.
And as soon as I started kind of going on that, you were like smiling like, oh, okay. He's like, but like, I just didn't know how.
I think it illustrates how easy we tend to kind of give up on ourselves maybe before like, oh, biology, I'm not going to get this,
right.
You know? And if you just give it an honest thought, you know, you might be able to suss it out.
Just like I did here today.
Yeah. I want to recommend too, on the subject of eggs, the song Fried or Fertilized by Young Humma and Flint Flossie.
Oh.
I'll put that in the show notes. Great egg song.
All right. Here is your second question. Spell the last name of South Bend Mayor and Democratic presidential nominee Pete Buttigieg.
The last name.
Yeah.
Starts with a butt, B-U-T-T. And then I'm going to go I-G-I-E-G.
That's correct. Nice.
Thank you. Yeah.
Only you like 10% of teams got it right.
So the reason that I remember that is because I was so thrown off by that name when I first read it and heard it. I actually like studied it. Like I need to figure out how are these sounds breaking down into the spelling? You know,
yeah.
I have my last name, my given surname is Brettschneider. So very complicated name. So whenever I see another person with a complicated name, I say, oh, you understand.
See, my last name, Davis,
yeah,
is very...
I know. I had to work harder on it too when I first met you. I was like...
Indeed. It was a tough one.
World War II is the category for the next one.
I'm not giving up on myself.
Good, good. Yeah, consider the question. Consider it. The German submarine U-1206 sank 24 days before the end of World War II as a result of a malfunctioning what? What was malfunctioning on the German submarine, the U-1206, that caused its ultimate demise?
Submarine. Man, scary as shit.
Mm-hmm. And this was when all these submarines were being, you know, kind of developed and invented. And this was a big technological period for the idea of like a submersible vessel.
Yeah.
Not an egg. Carrying many things other than zygotes, such as Nazis.
Is this your theme? Things encapsulating things? Can you read the... Because I want to...
Yeah. Yeah. The German submarine U-1206 sank 24 days before the end of World War II as a result of a malfunctioning what?
So a submarine sank.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems to me it has to have something to do with either its buoyancy or its ability to propel. So then you're looking at, I don't think it would be something that would just let water in. So I'm thinking propeller or electrical system to some extent.
Like, what if I told you it was something that let water in?
Oh. Okay. Well.
Seems kind of dumb, doesn't it?
A malfunctioning door?
I mean, that's a technically correct answer, but I'm looking for... No, it's a bit more complicated than that. The answer is a malfunctioning toilet.
Oh.
Yeah. So Allied submarines at the time had stored their sewage in septic tanks. And the Germans were like, why do we need all this weight? Let's just like poo it out into the ocean. You know, we'll just release it into the ocean. Right. So they started designing these like crazy toilets that would like, you know, be a pressurized system to literally like create like a poo torpedo at the back. But the devices became so complicated, they had to have specialists on board to like manage the toilet specifically. And on this particular submarine, the captain, a brash 27-year-old named, do I have his name here? I don't. Anyways, he thought that he could flush the toilet on his own, and it started backing up, and he got the specialist, and then the specialist broke it. So it started releasing sewage into the compartment, like blasting into it, which leaked on some other stuff, which created chlorine gas, which is poisonous. So they had to go to surface. And then once they got to the surface, the English were able to spot them and bombarded them, causing, you know, massive damage to the submarine. They called for an overboard and the submarine ultimately sank.
Holy shit.
Yeah, literally.
Well, it's not holy.
I mean, depending on your perspective on World War II.
I guess so.
Yeah.
All right. Where the hell am I? What am I doing with my life? All right. Here is your third question.
Right.
Actor Joe Dempsey plays what character on the hit television series Game of Thrones?
Oh, Joe Dempsey. I'm a fan.
Are you?
Am I?
Of Joe Dempsey or of Game of Thrones?
Of Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Joe Dempsey.
Joe Dempsey. Who that is? You like the last episode?
I fucking loved the last episode. Dude,
it was so good.
Yeah.
So many people bitching about it. It makes me so angry.
How long can my orgasm be?
Seriously.
It was 58 minutes last week.
Dude. I mean, this next episode is going to be unreal. But
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So many people complain because there's no action. All they just want to see is people get their head chopped. But no, it's like,
I'm cozy enough.
This is edging at its finest.
Yeah, indeed.
That was like the like super edge. That was a 58 minute edging session.
Yep.
Balls royal blue just waiting to unpack its contents.
I can't wait to release this Sunday. Anyway. Anyway, Joe Dempsey, I don't recognize the name as one of the leads, so I'm gonna go with some of the background characters here, or recent characters I should say. I believe this person is still on the show. So it could be. And I don't recognize this as an early name in the credits. I could be wrong about that. So I don't think it's Varys, because I feel like his name would have settled into my brain. It could be Ed from the Night's Watch. It could be the actor that plays Sam Tarly.
Samuel Tarly.
It could be the guy who plays Beric Dondarrion, the resurrected man. And it also could be Euron Greyjoy, which is who I'm going to go with. I feel like that name I've seen in the credits, and Euron's been getting a lot of screen time lately. So I'm going to go with Euron Greyjoy as the answer.
The correct answer is Gendry.
Ah, Gendry.
I loved you sussing, though.
Yeah.
I'd love to see you suss.
I didn't mention Gendry or Pod. I kind of wrote them off.
Yeah, there's, you know? There's so many people it could be.
Yep. Yeah, very good, very good. All right. I'm going to let you pick your demise here. Do you want an Olympics question or a musical instruments question?
Musical instruments.
Okay. You're going to regret this.
Yeah. The Four Minx. I always do.
The Four Minx. P-H-O-R-M-I-N-X. Four Minx. Is an example of what type of musical instrument first used in ancient Greece?
First thing that comes to mind is a harp. Second thing that comes to mind is like a lute. Some kind of guitar-esque device. Them shits have been around forever. The harp and the lute, I mean, I don't want to simplify too much, but they're basically the same thing. Harp was just like, here's a bunch of notes. Then someone came along and was like, hey, ding dong, put those strings on this piece of wood and move up, and you can get all those notes as you move up the fretboard. Don't be such a dum-dum. And the harp person was like, fuck.
Got all these strings for nothing.
Now look at me, sitting here with this giant-ass fucking
can
thing.
Can someone help me
legs.
Carry this?
Yeah, seriously. Imagine trying to buy a travel pack for that thing. Four minks. That sounds like one of those words that you use. You're like, oh, I have a four minks. And somebody goes, what's a four minks? And you're like, like, oh, I went out and got a henway. What's a henway? About 15 pounds. I got a dick fur. What's a dick fur? Or fucking. Those are the only ones I know. Oh, ligma.
What's a ligma?
Ligma balls. Harp or lute? I'm going to go with a lute.
Close but no cigar. Lyre is the answer. L-Y-R-E. The formynx is a intermediate between the instruments, the lyre and the kithara. Usually 2 to 7 strings. Two-stringed instrument. It's like those little cardboard tissue box guitars you make in kindergarten.
I feel like there's like a two-string guitar that's used a lot in Asia.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, the one in ancient Greece is known as the formynx. The picture.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Looks like some shit that like Cupid would be like carrying around.
It looks like a harp.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what he carries around.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're close.
Now, I was going to say, now you, so you wouldn't accept harp. How did you word the question?
The formynx is an example of what type of musical instrument? I mean, is this a harp? Is it a hand harp? I mean, how broad is your definition?
I mean,
of
like,
harp?
I mean, that's kind of my problem is that it's a forebearer of, or like a in a relationship
so,
with.
When I look up lyre, it says the lyre is similar in appearance to a small harp, but with distinct differences. So,
but
distinctions
do they
are being
say
made.
What the distinct differences are, or do they just go when you see it, you'll just know? I don't know.
It
how
actually
I would define
says that here. It says you'll just know. No, it says lyres are defined as yoke lutes, being lutes in which the strings are attached to a yoke that lies in the same. Plain as the sound table and consists of two arms and crossbar. Blah, blah, blah. Let's see what a harp is. Number of individual strings, soundboard. I don't know, man. I ain't got time for this shit.
Yeah.
All right. You're going to beef with me about this. That's fine. That's fine.
Somebody... No, but you know, I do want to beef with you still. We got beef.
Oh, all right.
We got beef about your Monday night.
Well, let's take a little break and we can beef off or on mic. We'll decide.
We'll beef on mic. It's not a big beef.
All right. Fine. Where's the beef?
The beef is with Carmina.
Yeah.
So you had a question Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
When Kermit the Frog is wearing a blonde wig.
Yeah.
This is alter ego. What mm-hmm. is the name?
Yeah.
Correct answer was Carmina.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately Fletcher Googled it.
Mm-hmm.
And was like, I'm getting nothing back. Now I Googled it. I just put Kermit blonde wig, and a thing came up with a couple different iterations mm-hmm. of Kermit wearing a blonde wig.
Yeah.
And for all of them, it just said, you know, unnamed character or whatever.
Yeah.
This was like Wikipedia or like the, maybe it was like the Jim Henson, like wiki or something, you know, then when he Googled her name, Kermit's name, it said, when he Googled Carmina, it was like, I got 2 or 3 Pinterests.
Yeah. Did you chase those Pinterests down to what they were pinning?
No.
Okay. So you did a superficial dig.
I did. It's the state calling me.
Do you need to take that?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know what that is. I apologize for not turning off my ringer.
The television series, The State, starring Michael Ian Black and... David Wayne, Michael Showalter.
Boys and
that
girls.
That state they're calling
Boys
you?
And girls. I wish. Then I would be taking it. So what do these Pinterests lead to?
I mean, there's definitely... So here's the thing with Kermit. He did a lot, especially in the early days of the Muppets, there was a lot of Kermit as, you know, characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that there was, you know, this blonde wig character wasn't like an often... Maybe the way that I presented the question was like, this happened a lot, you know, and this is a character that you should know. But when I'm looking at it, I'm like, this is a 5-point Muppets question. So if there's going to be a Muppets question that should stump ardent fans, this would be the time for it, you know? So maybe it's only one or two appearances,
all right,
but we'll get this sorted out.
Okay, I'm just curious. Worry. I mean, what's done is done, mm-hmm. but it was just so strange to me because you think that it would like something like that would be all over the place. And the fact that none of us were really able to find anything that was like, oh yeah. So maybe it was just like a one-off. And if it's going to be a 5-point question, because some of your 5-point questions, I'm like, man, we're like 100% on this.
Yeah.
And it's almost as if like it's arbitrarily like some questions are.
It's not arbitrary, but some 5-pointers are going to be answerable and some aren't.
Right.
And unfortunately, the 5-pointers have to get all of the hard difficulty range.
Right.
You know, so if you have specialized knowledge, you know, about something in particular that most people don't have, it's going to be a 5-pointer.
So now, you know? in the world of your repository, you divvy up not only by subject, but you also divvy up by difficulty. How do you judge the difficulty?
Well, I haven't been using the repository lately because we've been doing these category request forms or sheets,
oh.
you know? So most of the questions now are not previously written. They're written on the fly. Basically, I go and I collect the category requests the night of, and then I go make the layout for the following week's program. And then over the week, I slowly add questions. So the categories are put into a list randomizer. And then they're laid out totally at random across the program. So I look, Muppets, 5. Okay, what's a hard Muppets question?
Gotcha.
Hermina.
Gotcha.
You know, et cetera, et cetera.
Gotcha.
So I really like that we've been doing these category requests. And I can't remember who, but thanks to whoever suggested that on the podcast writing in. It was Quizmaster Josh, maybe, I think. I hope I'm not misattributing that. But getting the localized feedback of the players is awesome because I get questions that I would never think to ask. We're going to get to some of that. Actually, the final question is one from a like question that I wrote based on a player requested category that I probably would have never even come across if it hadn't been suggested to me. So anyways, let's go ahead and did that satisfy you, or you will be satisfied once you get this video? Is what
I might be.
Okay. Oh, you might be.
Yeah, we'll see.
You might be. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to ask you the first question of this round.
Okay.
Category is famous cats. Okay. You know any famous cats?
Garfield, Heathcliff, Keyboard Cat.
That's it? Oh, okay. You remember Keyboard Cat's name?
No.
Me neither. We should probably look that up, though.
That was this question.
Maru is who I'm going to be asking you about. You know Maru?
I think so.
Maru is a cat who holds the record for the most views of a single animal on YouTube and is what breed of cat? What kind of cat is Maru?
Most viewed video?
By a single animal. Of a single animal. 380 million views and counting as of this recording. The number 7 most subscribed to channel in YouTube Japan overall.
Would it be racist to guess a Siamese cat?
I wouldn't say that's racist, but it's not.
Because I'm just trying to think of like a distinct style cat. Because
mm-hmm.
I think when I think of cats, I think the two words that come to mind quickest are domestic long hair. Like mm-hmm. it's just like such a, you know.
Well, it's a breed, you know, and a Siamese is a breed. So you're on the right track, you know.
Like a Maine Coon.
I think that's a dog.
No, it's a cat, I think.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
A coon cat?
A raccoon looks more like a cat than a dog, does it not?
I thought a coon dog was for hunting raccoons.
Oh, well, that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
Maine Coon. It's a cat breed.
My bad.
One of these bad boys.
Hmm.
gorgeous.
Maru. Kind of get you is. I'll say a tabby.
No, the correct answer is Scottish Fold. Oh, Scottish Fold, a very popular breed, yep. Probably because of Maru.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Those little faces.
Yep. So Maru is a Scottish Fold.
All right. Here is your first question. Whose skull does Hamlet hold and talk to in Shakespeare's play by the same name?
I believe I know this.
I thought you would.
I once got into, as a hobby, Twitter bots, making bots on Twitter. And the first bot that I made was a bot that tweeted Hamlet line by line. It's still up. It's called Hamletobot. So go check that out. I believe there's five people, which is better than my second bot, which was the Westeros Theory bot, which tweets randomly generated Game of Thrones predictions, which has one follower, myself. And I thought about promoting it, like, hey, now would be the time to promote it because it's back on. And then I said, what's the fucking point?
Didn't you make one for Westworld too?
Yeah, that one is a little bit more successful. That still has some followers.
Good.
Those are my three bots. First one was Hamlet. And I believe the line is, alas, poor Horatio. I knew him well. No. No, it's not Horatio. It's York. York is the name of the character.
That's correct.
Yes. Whoo, that was close. Your next category is testicles.
Okay.
Again, these are all my player submitted categories. So
great.
They bring me down paths I do not expect and grateful.
You know, I love this.
Yeah. Amounting to 8% of its total body mass, what kind of mammal has the biggest balls on the planet relative to its body size? And no, the answer is not Bon Scott, singer of heavy metal band AC/DC.
You'd consider AC/DC heavy metal.
Right. I mean, maybe not by today's standards, but at the time.
I'd say rock and roll.
They're not thrash metal.
No, I'd say
they're heavy metal.
I would just say, I'd say they're rock and roll.
Okay. Well.
Flat out rock and roll.
All right. Rock and roll to me is, going back to what you were saying earlier, it's like so... with the ska, you know, it's so ground covering.
With the ska.
With the ska music.
You know, all what with the ska music. 8%.
Yep. 8% of its total body mass. So that would be 16 pounds for you and me. On average. Imagine walking around with that.
Jeez. I'm going to say
it's a sad life.
Squirrel.
Interesting. You're close, but that's not right. The correct answer is Raffinesque's big-eared bat. The big-eared bat.
Would you have taken bat?
Yes, I would have taken bat for sure. Because I said what kind of mammal. So bat would have fit. It's interesting they chose to emphasize the ears in that name, though. The big-eared bat.
Yeah.
Like, look up here. His ears are up here, you know? Yeah.
Guys, my balls are down here. All right, here's your next question. Lusaka.
Oh, by the way, sorry, just to elaborate on that, picture of these balls from these bats, just as hard to find as a video of Carmina, just in case you're unaware. I went looking. I haven't turned anything up, but I'm going to keep looking.
Keep looking. Maybe they're inside. Maybe that's why they can't see them. They have internal testicles.
Oh, they're so heavy.
All right, I'm going to change my question.
Oh, shit. Did I do something bad? Are you punishing me?
Yes. How many U.S. states end in the letter O?
I'm closing my eyes.
This is what peak performance looks like. I know you like to throw that around.
There's a lot that end in other vowels. I'm on New Jersey in my head right now.
Do you know the state song?
Yeah, that's what I'm singing in my head. Okay. Yeah. Should I sing it out loud and just count it off?
Yeah.
All right. Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Idaho, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Minnesota, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, North Carolina, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, Virginia, Washington, West Virginia, Wisconsin, Wyoming. Four?
That's correct.
Thank God. Man, if I miss one, it's kind of taxing to count it while you're singing it.
Yeah.
I was probably singing that super slow, but I was the whole time thinking, don't miss one. Don't miss one. And in case you don't know that song, learn it. It will help you with questions.
Yeah,
like that.
I want to.
That is like the key. I need something like that with the periodic table. And I probably should learn that President's song again. I don't know if you had that. In the 90s, they made a President's rap.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, we are the presidents, mighty, mighty presidents. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then, yeah, it was super, super tough, obviously.
Amazing.
All right. Your next question, I'm going to give you the choice between tiki culture or spooky locations.
Jesus. Do you want, you have no clue, or do you want get fucked? I guess I'll go with tiki culture. Okay. I never thought those words would come out of my all mouth.
What piano player?
Sorry, Justin Peterson.
Yeah, here's a piano player question right back at you. What piano player and composer is known as the father of exotica?
Exotica.
Yeah. It's kind of the tiki music genre. If you don't know what to call it other than tiki music, they're just going for that Polynesian vibe. If you were having a tiki party, playing the music of this person would be a good place to start, I would say. Getting the vibe.
What pianist?
The father of exotica.
And you said it's so if you're like throwing a tiki party, his music would be a good place to start.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of what fucking music tiki music would be. Keep wanting to say Don Ho. I don't know why. I guess because that's, I think of that Tiny Bubbles song. And then I keep wanting to say Screaming Jay Hawkins. Because, I don't know. He just looks all...
That guy could fucking scream.
That's why they called him Screaming Jay Hawkins.
I mean, if you're familiar with the I Put a Spell on You.
Does he do your favorite version of that?
Yes, he does.
My favorite's Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Yeah, I mean that's my second favorite.
Yeah.
Screaming
Jay just does too much of that.
Oh, I love
like
it.
For me.
Yeah.
Man, tiki. What the fuck do you listen to a tiki bar? I'm going to say Harry Belafonte.
No. Not a bad guess. Martin Denny is the guy's name. Martin Denny.
I don't know who that is.
You've never heard of Martin Denny?
Mm-mm.
You got to listen to some. This is good shit. Martin Denny, he went to Hawaii for a 2-week engagement, you know, as a piano player, and he just never left. He was like, oh, this place rules. I'm just going to stay here and live here. And he built the soundscape for his band by using world music instruments. He had a lot of friends in the airplane industry, so they would fly all over the world, collect instruments, and bring them back to Hawaii for him to use in his band.
Huh.
And
must be nice.
Yeah, one of his most famous pieces is called Quiet Village. That would be a good place to start, the song Quiet Village. It has bird calls and animal noises that are the musicians themselves make, which actually started out as a joke, but people were listening and they were like, that's really cool. You should include that. And it kind of adds to this very atmospheric vibe. You feel like you're sitting kind of in the middle of the jungle. You know, there's like all these bird calls being done. But check out Quiet Village by Martin Denny. Damn. For a good primer on the textbook tiki music exotica.
I'll have to check that out because I never really thought of it as being like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, here's a question that was submitted actually by Joey Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to her.
Yep.
For sending this in.
Happy belated to Tim as well.
Yes,
Tim
absolutely.
Clark.
My best, one of my best friends in the world. What primary chemical compound in octopus and squid ink is also found in human skin?
Hmm. That's cool.
Isn't that a good question? She's yeah. a natural.
Chemical compound found in squid ink that's also in human skin?
Yes.
Yeah, I still don't have my Chemical Elements song that I need. Varicose.
VC.
As a reference to Andy Daly's pilot podcast project. Pilot podcast project. It's doing a comedian doing an impression of H.R. Giger inventing a new color called Varicose.
It is a darkly hued blue or a purple hued black. That is the funniest episode of a podcast I've ever heard.
It's pretty funny.
To this day, it still fucking cracks me up.
The episode title is The Travel Bug with August Lind, yes. In case you want to go check it out.
Oh, Matt Besser, Paul F. Tompkins, yep. Andy Daly.
But as far as I know, varicose is not a chemical compound. It is some kind of vein, I think.
It is a vein.
Yeah. Squid ink. I don't know. Something, I wonder if it has to do with something with like the black coloring. Is it, Wait. It's not melatonin. It would be, I feel like I got an answer on the tip of my tongue all of a sudden. It is, I think it's whatever, causes the difference in the pigmentation and color of skin. Am I barking up the right tree?
I can't give you any clues.
Okay, you're not going to give me any clues on this. Nope. Oh, man. It's not melatonin. It sounds kind of like that, though. Oh, this is driving me nuts. I'm just going to give this one to Joey. This is a great question. And if we had all the time in the world, I think I'd probably come up with it between 3 and 7 business days. But go ahead and give it to me. What is it?
You were so close.
Yeah.
You had the right first 2 letters.
Mm-hmm.
Right first 3 letters.
Wait. Oh.
The correct answer.
No, wait.
It's no. Melanin.
Oh! God damn it.
As much as I love to watch you struggle,
I know. I literally just writhed. Uh-huh. My body writhed as yep. the correct answer was read. Wow. Great question, Joey. Oh, man. That's really good. I want to yeah. ask that. I want to integrate that into my trivia.
Please do.
That's good. All right. I think that's 3 and 3, right?
I believe so.
Okay. So one last break, and then we're going to do a couple final questions for you. That melatonin in our skin because we would just be sleepy all the time.
So tired.
Yeah. All right. Let's do these final questions. Is it my turn? It's your turn to go first, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. Lay it on me, Zaddy.
All right. Here you go.
Mm-hmm.
In the original Oregon Trail.
Good pronunciation, by the way.
Thank you. Made in 1971. What were the 4 infectious diseases that could kill members of your party?
Dysentery is the memeable one right out of the gate. You could die of Boom. Dysentery. You've died of dysentery. Boom. I believe you could also die of tuberculosis. So I'll go with that as my number 2. Now, the other two aren't coming to me as quickly. And we'll be talking about coming quickly later.
Oh, boy.
Or even slowly, to keep with our edging theme. Influenza. I'll go with number three. And dysentery, tuberculosis, influenza, and rickets will be my final answer.
Well, you got one of them.
Overall?
Dysentery.
Yeah. No tuberculosis.
Typhoid.
Mm.
Cholera.
Mm.
And measles.
Mm. Measles on the rise.
Mm. Big time. Very bad time.
We stamped it out, and now we're going back in time to the days of the Oregon Trail.
Can't wait until dysentery is a thing again.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, I'm disappointed in myself, but
you got dysentery.
What are you going to do? I need a team for that one.
Yeah.
All right. It's finally time for my final question. Noteworthy blowjobs is the category. These are blowjobs of note.
All right.
And no, this has nothing to do with 1990s America.
Okay.
And everything to do with ancient Egypt.
Oh.
What Egyptian god king, who is believed to have been the first mummy, was resurrected via blowjob in what is considered to be the first documented blowjob in human history?
Wow.
And once again, thanks to my players, I would never have thought to look this up if they didn't casually write down blowjobs on the category request form that I passed out of my trivia.
What team thought they knew blowjobs so well that they made blowjobs their category?
I believe this was our episode 27 guest and my partner, Kyle Ann.
Oh.
I think she just wrote it down as a joke, and I was like, fantastic. I'll go there. I'll go there.
Okay. What god king...
That's the first part of the question.
Well, I mean, honestly, the only person I can know that was a mummy is not King Tutankhamun is Ramses. So I'm going to go with Ramses.
No, the answer is King Osiris. King Osiris.
God damn. Yep.
In the legend depicted inside the king's burial chamber, Osiris was killed by his brother Set and cut into 43 pieces and distributed upon the kingdom. And Osiris's wife Isis tracks down all the pieces, puts them back together, but the very important piece missing, his dick.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So she makes a dick out of clay and then breathes life into it. And this is depicted again inside the burial chamber. You might know they used drawings to communicate these. So there is a drawing of this
nice.
Occurring. Yes, that's telling the story. And Isis, yes, blew life back into the king, for which we are all grateful, I would
thank
say.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Isis.
Osiris, Isis.
But the penis was made out of clay, so that is a literal dirty dick, right? I mean, it's made out of dirt. It's like the dirtiest
yeah,
dick you
I
could think
so.
Of.
Yeah.
So it's kind of gross, but
it's disgusting.
Wash up before you do that stuff, guys. We don't want any of you dying of typhoid or dysentery or
cholera.
I'm not sure if you can get measles. I'm sure you could probably get measles that way.
Well, you could try.
Yeah. Wash up. Anyways. All right. That concludes our episode, our 43rd episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name is Quizmaster Lee. You can catch me hosting No Nonsense Trivia live on Mondays at Three Pepper Burrito Company in downtown Fort Myers at 7:30. Then again on Wednesdays at Bury Me Brewing Company, also in Fort Myers. That one's starting at 7. And each and every Thursday evening at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in downtown Cape Coral. That show starting at 7:30. Mark, why don't you tell our listeners where you can be found on Wednesday nights?
Wednesday nights from 9 until 10:30, you can find me in historic downtown Cape Coral at the one and only Nice Guys Pints and Pies, located on Cape Coral Parkway.
Right on. Thanks for listening. Join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No by sharing our podcast with a friend on your social media accounts. Thanks again to our Patreon supporters for supporting the show. You can write us with a Rate My Question or a Miscorrection at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia, and on Twitter at No Non Trivia. We also have a Facebook group you can join. Just search for the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast Facebook group. You can talk to us and other listeners. And finally, don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you listen to your podcast. 5 stars only, please. Everybody, have a great week.